Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Brings us to another episode of the Yoga Revealed podcast. And here we are again, Jonah.
Here we are. Third time?
Third time's a charm, baby.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the most interviewed guest on Yoga Revealed.
Yeah, it's either between you, my teacher Rocky, or Dylan Warner.
Hey, you got three with Dylan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
I love Dylan.
Dylan's a legend.
He's a sweetheart. Definitely. And so do you.
Hey.
So do you, my brethren.
Cheers, brother.
Straight up.
In the jungles of Costa Rica.
I know, from the streets of Venice to the jungles of Costa Rica. Here we go.
Man, it's cool to just see where you live, bro, and immerse and drink tea and adventure.
Yes. Cheers to the adventures, the many adventures to come.
Cheers.
So brings me a lot of joy to be here in Costa Rica and have the opportunity to jump into this conversation, because this has been a long time coming, man. Like 7 or 8 years of friendship now, and
definitely
just witnessing all the beauty blossoming and all the continuous adventures from, you know, the streets of Venice Beach to Ras Al Khaimah with, you know, Val jumping around and Dev, and then now we're here in Costa Rica leading our second 200-hour yoga teacher training for Become a Yogi.
Big man, second teacher training, two under our belt. I feel really good about this one, and I just feel like they keep getting better and they keep evolving, and the way we work together and complement each other has been awesome. So
definitely,
I think almost 100 students. It's pretty wild.
It's pretty incredible to think that, you know, we were in Venice Beach, both, like, you know, traveling and teaching classes, and then, like, see the evolution of both of our careers. Like, you're now, you know, with Nike as one of Nike's yoga trainers, and, like, that's so incredible. And just to, like, witness, like, the continuous evolution. I'm here in Costa Rica, like, retreat centers in the making, you know, like, this is...
You're inspiring me a lot. You've always been a big thinker, and I feel like, you know, you just having the the courage to move to a foreign country and just be a leader out here and show people that there's another way is inspiring for me. Just even living at your house, I'm like, starting to rethink the city life a little bit.
You never know until you go. Hey, you never know until you go.
Definitely.
Yeah, I feel like it's the real magic of having the opportunity to see a different perspective. And I've been coming here since 2012, so it's kind of been like, you know, nudging at me for a long time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when the pandemic hit, it was just immediate that I needed to make a decision for at least the next 5 to 10 years of my life that could really become a way of living, a lifestyle change. And I really felt that living the lifestyle in Venice Beach, it just wasn't sustainable for my heart, you know, like the amount of waste just on a daily basis, whether it's, you know, going to Erewhon and just, you know, throwing away the little carton that they give you, to, you know, the amount of gas that it took to get from Venice Beach all the way to my clients in, you know, Bel Air or Beverly Hills. It's like
traffic,
just energy, you know? And so
it's not optimal design.
Definitely. Yeah. We talked about design with Stephen Brooks, huh?
Exactly. It's rubbing off on me already.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like this is the perfect place to host the trainings. And I mean, really a perfect place to live. It's very free, you know, in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And, it's cool to see. I mean, I know you kind of got stuck here a little bit, or not stuck, I should say, but you decided to stay here during the course of the pandemic, and look, you just didn't look back.
Yeah,
A great place to plant new seeds and grow new roots, and, you know.
It's fertile ground.
It's fertile ground, exactly. It really is. So
I wanted to speak a little bit more about, you know, what we've been creating with this Become a Yogi, and also, like, some more about, like, why you decided to reach out and to really start doing these teacher trainings.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I did my first teacher training when I was 17 years old with my father.
And, that's wild.
You know, so just having taught for so many years and having taken so many trainings and also assisted, you know, dozens of trainings, including 300 hours, I just felt like a few years ago, well, we did the first one actually on Zoom in 2020 in the summer, which went really, really well. And then we did the first one in person last year, now this year. So I felt like I just was kind of ready. I don't know. You get to a point where it's like, it's kind of like an evolution. Like you first got to practice teaching a bunch and you just do it, you know, all over the place. And you take everything you can get and you teach your friends, and I still teach my friends, but
that's the way.
Yeah,
friends first.
Friends first. And then you kind of just, you know, it keeps evolving, and eventually you want to, like, share it so much where you want to teach other people how to teach it, you know? And I feel like that's just the natural evolution. And I was really fortunate to have had some incredible mentors like my father and my uncle, and also be handed down such an incredible program that's been evolved for, you know, over 30 years.
Yeah.
My father's teacher training program, when he first started leading them, there was no such thing as a teacher training.
That's so wild to think of.
There was no yoga line, so he was really just like trying to just figure it out and how what's the best way we can pass this yoga lineage down. And I just felt like I was ready to pass the torch from him on to new students and continue the lineage. And I feel like it's just my honor and like duty. It feels like I really don't have another way. So
that's beautiful. I feel like that's the real magic of the guru and sannyas, or the guru and student relationship, is like this deep sense of realizing that, you know, when the cup overflows, like there's nothing left to do other than to share. And I feel like it's been so beautiful to witness how even being in your father's 300 hour and doing that online during the pandemic, and like just seeing how potent his teachings are and seeing how much of his teachings have really flowed into you, but seeing also how you have evolved your own style and your own, you know, taste and your own flavor. And it's really beautiful to see.
Thank you for seeing that. And yeah, it's, of course, I'm deeply, deeply inspired by his teachings and have taken on so much, and I don't know where I'd be without that. But I've also had some other incredible teachers, including yourself, and I feel like, you know, our training is so unique because we get so many different perspectives. And even just having you there with acro yoga and bringing that sense of playfulness and feel-good flows, and, you know, just your yoga, I feel like, really fits into the modern world that we live in. And to have that, I just feel like our training, Become a Yogi, really balances like the classical with like the new and like innovative.
Yeah. The innovation is key. I feel like that's the real evolution of humanity.
Definitely.
And right now we're living in some very unique, changing times. And I think it's more important now than ever for yogis to also realize that our practice has to change. And the way that we practice, the way that we approach the practice, and also the different types of modalities that we're incorporating into our practice. So I wanted to ask you, what are some of the really wonderful practices that you've incorporated into your own holistic approach towards yoga?
Yeah, you know, for me, it's kind of, it obviously all comes back to, you know, the physical practice, and because how you do anything is how you do everything. So I feel like, you know, when I'm practicing consistently, it kind of translates into everything else that I do. But, you know, meditation, I think, you know, is pretty important to me. I mean, we start our days off with 30 minutes of silent meditation, and I feel like it just sets the tone for the whole day, for our entire training.
Yeah.
And that's just the proof in the pudding right there. And that's impacted my life in that way. So just to bring it into the trainings is, it feels really right. You know, just to even how we eat, you know, giving a blessing before the food, does those prana rituals, breath work. Yeah, man, there's so much, but I feel like, you know, one of the things that is so powerful about coming to a training, and something that even benefits me as being a leader, I feel like I get sometimes even more benefit than the students, you know, because they teach me so much, and we're all in this
together.
We're all in this together, and we're in this container that really allows us to all focus on the same thing and have no distractions.
Yeah.
And you can live like a yogi, you can eat like a yogi, you can breathe like a yogi, and really just live this lifestyle collectively for 21 days, and you come out changed.
Yeah, you know? After 21 days, you become a yogi.
You really do, you know? As cheesy as it might sound, you know, we're really doing it. Like, you know,
it's good vegan cheese, come on. Straight up.
I'm super, super grateful, and we've been attracting some really high vibe people. I mean,
seriously,
people in our group. I mean, we have people from all over the world,
some
different countries.
Some incredible human beings.
Some really intelligent, you know, strong men and women, and it's just, it's so fun, man. It really, it's like yoga summer camp.
It's honestly, it's like the best summer camp ever.
It really is.
Seriously. And the amount of diversity that we have between like women and men, and, you know, we even have, you know, some LGBT people in there. And also there's just like a deep sense of everyone being open to learning from each other. And I think that's really the magic of it, is that there's a diversity. And I feel that's really what yoga is. It's a union. It's a union of all the opposites. It's a union of all the differentiations and spectrums of humans coming together to see how this practice can work for them and can continuously bring them a deep sense of ease while they draw forth a bigger awareness of the bliss that's all around them.
Definitely. Yeah, I think it dissolves that separation that we all think we have on the outside, and it kind of just melts all those illusions away. I mean, look, we have, like you said, such a diverse training, and we're all just, no one thinks about that, you know? It's just everyone comes together and collaborates and builds flows and builds ideas, and it's just really cool to see what comes from that.
I wanted to hear about what's come from some of your travels lately, because, I mean, I've seen you all the way in like Saudi Arabia, and, you know, I think that you had a few little Southeast Asia. Were you in?
No, I wasn't in Asia. I did a little bit of Europe. I've been doing a lot of, like, you know, Asia's been kind of tough the last year just because of the pandemic, and Bali just opened up. But
Bali. I'll be there.
Yogi, Bali, 2023, maybe.
Don't tell them.
Yeah. So just you know, the travels have kind of, I wouldn't say tapered down, but I would just say they've been a little bit more local. You know, Mexico is really easy, but there's also so many incredible places within Mexico.
Yeah.
So I've been able to explore some of that, some really epic waterfalls, and just, you know, create content. That's another thing that I love to do, is just create magic and art and work with other, like, you know, creatives. And
And what's your inspiration nowadays with creating art? Because I feel like, you know, Instagram has changed
yeah,
a lot.
It has.
And I feel that the environment itself has become so much more sensitive.
Mm.
And I feel like it's so important for us to like really speak to how we're evolving as creators.
Yeah.
Because essentially like we're inspiring, you know, hundreds of thousands of people online. It's like what has inspired you to create from that space of your heart?
Mm, great question. Wow. You know, I guess I'll just start by, you know, Instagram specifically obviously has been a huge proponent to reaching a lot of people for us. And the platform's changing like rapidly. I mean, the whole world's changing in that sense. And it's not really a photo sharing app, it's mostly video. So I definitely have been focusing more on not just video where it's like, oh, we're going to showcase like, you know, this incredible like fabricated lifestyle or, you know, specific shots, but mostly like really telling stories. So I've been doing, I've been trying to put more intention and thought into really just like creating stories and messages through the videos that have like, you know, real yoga themes that can inspire people and help people. So I'm working on a few things right now. I want to do a short documentary. That's like one of my goals.
On what?
So there's a few ideas. One of them is I want to talk about the happiness study in, I think it's not Tibet, it's a nearby country.
Bhutan.
Bhutan.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to go there and tell that story and kind of...
We can go to Bhutan. I actually taught a dude in Mexico who is a mountain biker, who mountain bikes every single year through Bhutan, because it's one of the best ways to be able to get to the temples, because obviously you can't really reach them through cars because everyone walks there.
Wow.
So it's like one of the best ways because you're on a bike, you know, you get to see all the sights. So that would be that I would be down for that journey for sure.
It'd be like a yoga revealed in Bhutan. And, you know, these are the happiest. I mean, they did a study that they found that the happiest people in the world live there.
Hmm.
And they, one of my friends, he's an author. His name's Sunil Gupta.
He was in my yoga teacher training. 300 hours.
Yeah. He talks. He basically says that one of the main things that they ask these people is if. Or one of the signifying things that makes them happy is if they were to be in a place of trouble or a place of need,
mm-hmm.
how many of you, or if you just ask the audience, could call someone and know that they'd be there for you?
Oh.
And depending on that answer, you know, that actually ironically changes your happiness, which I thought was really interesting. Like, I'm trying to think if I was in danger, like, how many people could I call that I know would show up and be there or help me in that situation?
Yeah.
And that's an interesting to think about, especially like with your circle and your friends and, you know, not just family, but
yeah,
who's really got that unconditional love for you. So.
Yeah, who's got your back through day and night, through the darkness and the light, you know? Mm-hmm. You got to make sure that people are not just there conditionally, but unconditionally.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And I also want to go back to India. It's been a few years. So I definitely want to go back to the Holy Land.
And, what part's calling you?
I want to go somewhere different. I've been to, you know, I've done the Golden Triangle and I've done Varanasi. So I want to do something more like maybe Mysore, mm-hmm. get back to the Ashtanga roots, study with Sharath Joyce, maybe, if he's around.
Yeah.
And just kind of immerse myself there. Because I mean, our trainings definitely have a strong Ashtanga focus in the beginning, at least, to build that foundation. So I feel like it'd be cool to immerse myself in Ashtanga and just kind of soak up that wisdom over there.
Yeah, man. I heard that it's really potent. My good friend Alec has studied there for quite some time, and I've been like, dude, like, I really want to go back and, like, have some Ashtanga vibes, you know,
yeah.
And, like, really, like...
Just that one-on-one teacher to student, like, get adjusted and, you know, as we know and become a yogi, it's not really about mastering all the poses, but... There's something about just being in India and just immersing yourself, you know, and eating like the yogis do, the dal and the curries and the khichdi.
The samosas. I love samosas,
dude.
Man.
My favorite part about India is the food. I mean, let's be honest.
Seriously.
It's so good.
Yeah, and the people. The people are so kind.
They really are.
I remember just being there and just like witnessing the humble nature of everyone, no matter if they're, you know, the...
I was just gonna say that, you know, if there was one thing to describe Indian people, it's humility.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to like wrap my head around why people in India have that, and I kind of made this realization that there's just so many Indians. Like, I mean, they have one of the largest populations, so almost they have no choice but to, like, realize they're part of this, like, bigger, and that's what instills that humility within them, because there's so many, like,
There's so many, but I also feel that it's a lot of their cultural upbringing, because they're really deeply rooted in the Hindu philosophy.
Definitely.
And the Hindu philosophy in its own is like this deep-rooted wisdom of everyone is part of the whole.
Yeah, and that's what, it's not just like the number of people, but it's like they realize that in order to get anything done, they have to work together and coexist. And, and there's not as much ego there, because it's like, everyone has to work to get the job done. It's like, I call it organized chaos. You know, if you ever walk the streets of India, you see like everyone has a role, and things are just moving and things just magically get done.
It's true.
It's really cool.
Yeah. I feel like nowadays, like with all of the, you know, social media and all the distractions and all of the, you know, whether it's sicknesses going around, you know, we got monkeypox and this and that. It's like, there's so many things that pull us away from that deep-rooted awareness of how we all are an integral part to the whole. And I wanted to ask you, if you were to give, you know, our listeners, our students, people out there, some words of advice on how to stay rooted into that daily practice, what would they be?
You know, it may sound simple, but to stay rooted in a daily practice, the first thing I would say is like just change your environment or put yourself in a place where it supports that practice. Because if you're not, then you're gonna be working against yourself, and it's gonna be too much energy. So you know, if you wake up and you're hanging out with yogis, you know, it's like it's not gonna be hard to meditate in the morning,
because
you know, just like at teacher training, it's almost expected. So I think it all comes back to who you're surrounding yourself with and that community. But then again, you have to attract that community. So you also might have to go through a period of time where you walk alone for a bit, you know, and that's the path of a yogi.
Yeah.
But eventually, you know, something beautiful happens and you begin to attract like-minded people. But so if you're at that place, and you know, I've been there. Sometimes I feel like I'm there right now, you know. In reality, we all are kind of walking this path alone, you know. But I think attracting like-minded people and being around that really makes everything a lot sweeter and easier.
Definitely. Yeah, I feel like the community is so key.
Definitely.
But I did want to touch on something that you said as far as, like, you know, walking alone. Like, we are really alone on our own path, our own journey. How would you say that, you know, a yogi or a listener, someone who's just getting started in their practice, can really find that sense of authenticity in what they're doing?
You know, I feel like with authenticity, really, it's not that complicated. I feel like you just kind of have to focus on what feels good. So if something's working in your life, or you know, you got to experiment, right? Experiment first, and then whatever feels good, listen to that and honor that. And then ultimately you can share that, and then it's going to feel authentic, you know, because like we're constantly being flooded with information, you know, whether it be a podcast or a yoga teacher training. And I even tell, you know, the students this, and that, you know, you're going to learn a lot of things here, but the things that you share are the things that are going to be deeply that impacted you. So I feel like that's one of the ways that I can remain as authentic as possible, is only share the things that have deeply resonated and changed my life or impacted me. I would say experimentation is key. Try everything. Try other movement arts, try other forms of meditation, breath work. Just put yourself out there and plant a lot of seeds, and then, you know, just you'll end up seeing what gets watered and what gets nurtured.
I like that, because it really is like planting seeds. I feel like when it comes to your yoga practice, when it comes to the different modalities of movement that you decide to, you know, expand into, it's like you're planting a seed, and you have to cultivate it. You have to water it. You have to consistently do it. Otherwise, it doesn't actually develop into anything. You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, they'll just, you know, dig little shallow holes, like a little shallow hole there, a little shallow hole there. And it's like, if you don't actually go deep, then you're never really going to catch those gems or get those golden nuggets that you're really looking for.
Yeah, I love that. There's a really cool story of the Buddha. It's kind of a silly one, but he, after he was fully enlightened, sitting underneath the Bodhi tree, he started to walk the nearby villages of northern India and just sharing his teachings. But as he would do that, people kind of recognized his light and his, mm-hmm. his gift. And they would come out of their homes and they would say, you know, who are you? Like, he had this like aura to him, you know, I can only imagine. But I think we all have that aura, like, you know, there's definitely...
It's all inside. All you gotta do is polish it.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure people come to you, they're like, whoa, how are you so happy all the time? You know, making smoothies and waffles. But, you know, so people would come out of their businesses and be like, who are you? Like, he had this glow, this presence. And he just would simply answer, I'm a farmer.
Aww.
Because I just plant seeds, you know? And my thoughts and my actions and of my mind are the seeds. And the fruit is these gifts, you know? Mm. So I just think it's silly that, I think it's amazing that he's like, I'm just a farmer.
It's true. And it's all, we're all planting seeds.
I'm a huge believer in, it's not even I believe, it's just, I feel like at this point it's a law of the universe, but karma, you know? I truly have witnessed the reality of karma and how we do create our own worlds that we live in through our thoughts and our actions. And, you know, what you put out is what you get back. And it multiplies, too. It expands.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you focus on gets bigger.
Yeah.
So whatever you put your energy and attention to grows and it expands. And that goes the same for negativity. You know, if you focus on the black dot, like we talked about, you know, that black hole just gets bigger and you get sucked into it. So it's really important to wisely choose where you put your energy and attention, because the mind is pretty fragile and it's very turbulent, and we're constantly, you know, battling.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you can bring yourself back to a place of stillness, that's why I think meditation is almost essential, because you're just basically giving your mind a second to rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so imperative now, especially with all of the multitudes of things that we can do, you know? It's like everything is literally at our fingertips. And with all of that access, it also brings forth a deep sense of awareness that we have to hone in the discipline, so that we can choose with a deeper sense of discernment what we actually want to focus our energy into.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, discipline's key.
So for our yogis who are, you know, at home, on their path, who are just now, you know, getting into their practice, or maybe they're just now getting into teaching,
yeah.
What are some of the main things that you would say for new yoga teachers to focus on?
Ooh.
Maybe give me three things for new yoga teachers to focus on.
Mm, great question. Yeah, if you're a new yoga teacher, I feel like just teach as much as you can, first of all. I think just give it away and don't expect anything back in return.
Mm.
I think it's got to come from that pure place.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, definitely. It's going to be, you know... Yeah, it's just not going to work. I think you just have to give it away purely and freely. And then abundance will come from that, because as you've seen and as I've seen, when you help people, it's like they want to help you. And there's a lot of gratitude, and it becomes an energy exchange. And I feel like if you know yoga and if you've learned yoga, it's an incredible tool to just connect with people, and for me that's my platform to share, and it's gonna allow me to do so many other things and help so many people. So
mm-hmm.
that I would say the next thing is to take other teachers' classes, you
mm-hmm.
know, as much as you can, whether that be online on the Nike app or you know, with you on your app.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just take as many classes as possible, because there's so many things to learn, and if you don't learn anything, at least you learn what not to do.
True.
Or what didn't work for you. And then lastly, I would just say, make sure you have your own practice, because how can you teach someone if you're not practicing it? You know, it's like that. It's a real, I see a lot of yoga teachers fall into that, because it's easy to kind of just preach, but it's, you know, to put in the work. And I feel like that's why I'm so humbled when we do these teacher trainings, because it, like, you can't fake it, you know? It's like, you're just there, you know? You're being observed by, and it's not just me, it's everyone in the training. That's why it's so powerful, because everyone's being observed.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just say, cultivate that practice for you. And I feel like if you can do it and experience it and feel it, it's going to feel so good and rich for others when you share it.
Truth. We can only really share from that space of deep embodiment. And I feel like embodiment is the truest essence of our practice. Mm. It's the fruit, you know? It's like when you do take the time and put in the breath work and, you know, dive deeper into the animal flow and, you know, jump into the, you know, all the things. It's like the deep meditations, like those are literally going to be what shows in your teachings.
Yeah.
And when people like listen to those stories, they're like, wow, like that hit home. And it's because it's a true experience.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel that's the most important thing that we can do, is like speak from true experience.
Yeah. And it's cool, like, to bring those into classes. And I think that's what kind of separates this style of yoga from others, is it really allows people to feel that full range of emotion, and bringing in some like those realistic, truthful stories can kind of sometimes crack people open and relate. You know, I think that's the thing, is sometimes yoga can be unrelatable.
Yeah, so definitely.
For a lot of people. But yeah, man, this is what a journey. It's been awesome to share it with you.
Dude, and the journey continues. The journey continues.
What about you, man? What are you, you don't mind me asking, what's on your horizon?
I mean, so many epic things on the horizon. What is most exciting for me right now is really creating a space where people can come to practice, to meditate, to learn acro yoga, to learn healthy eating, great vegan recipes. And so I built out this app, Andrew Seven Seely. I'm super excited about it. I've been putting out a lot of really beautiful content, and it's like all going to drop on July 7th.
So, ooh, it's coming up.
Yeah, yeah. The app is already out there, and I'm giving the first 2,000 users the app for free. So it's just like, you know,
good thing I downloaded it.
You see, it's always the homies first. The people that really know about it, I love to be able to.
I actually swipe up when you tell me to swipe up. Thank you. It's a really beautiful app, and I can't wait to see the updated version.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah. I'm really excited.
You have a lot to share, man. Not just yoga. I mean, the recipe. I mean, the waffles you made last night with the homemade cashew coconut cream. I mean, you're a chef, man.
I appreciate it. I love, you know, I feel like everything that we do is an expression that comes from us. And if we're truly, you know, imbibed in allowing source to channel through us, then everything that we create will be art. And I see it with you and how you teach, and I see it in, you know, even the eye gazing exercise that we did yesterday with the students. It was just like so potent and so beautiful. And I feel that we all have that capacity to share, and it's just a matter of tapping in and allowing it to flow through us.
I really love what you just said about the art coming from us, and if we take that quality, everything can become art.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you practice, it becomes clear. When you're doing something and you're present, it becomes so clear that like real creativity is like already within us. Mm-hmm. It's not like something that we have to reach out and grab. It's already here.
It's here.
So thanks for reminding me of that.
Anytime.
Let's expand our creativity today on some of these adventures, these waterfall adventures.
Yep, we're about to go on an adventure, man. I can't wait for you to see this waterfall, man. This waterfall is one of my favorites. I mean, we went last year, but it's like rainy season right now. It's just like, it's pumping. Yeah. It's powerful for sure. And I got to take you to my favorite beach where the retreat center is going to be. So,
Ooh. Yep.
But before that, I want to leave our yogis with one golden nugget of advice that they can use when they're feeling down, when they're in that little dark space of, you know, not feeling like they're enough, or perhaps when they're just lacking motivation, you know, when they need that little bit of inspiration to keep pushing on and to keep practicing and to keep truly investing in that sense of self-worth and self-love.
Yeah, I feel like I could answer that like in two ways. I mean, yeah, I feel like, first of all, you know, what actually reminded me of it was the lecture that we had the other day on the Bhagavad Gita.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that she said was, or at least the overall underlying message is, real change is hard to come by until you can accept where you are in that moment. And that kind of hit home, because if you're, let's say you're in a place where you feel maybe a little stuck, or you feel like depressed or, you know, anxious, you can't get out of that unless you can fully accept exactly where you are, and then the change happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say acceptance is key. And then also just knowing that one of my mantras is, the best is yet to come.
Hmm.
You know, it's really simple, but like, it's no matter where you are, it's like, the best is yet to come.
Hmm. That's such a good one.
It's simple. The night is darkest just before the dawn.
Truth be told.
So
truth
be told. You never know, every breath, every moment is an opportunity to begin again, no matter what has happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let your meditation remind you of that, let your practice remind you of that, and let every moment be anew.
Anew, baby.
Mm.
And continue to live light and shine bright forever.
Thanks for having me, brother.
So
excited to see the evolution of Yoga Revealed continue to reach so many people, and all the incredible people you're going to be interviewing. And I'm grateful to be on here and do another teacher training with you in September.
Yeah. So if you guys are looking for a teacher training, let me just tell you, this is one of the most powerful teacher trainings that I've ever been a part of, and I've assisted many. And I think that right now is more than ever the time to jump in and to really polish your shine, because right now is the time.
Yeah, indeed.
Blessings.
Cheers, brother.
Yes, indeed. Many blessings. And cheers to you, yogis all around the world. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of this growing, expanding community. Thank you for continuing to live your light and to forever shine bright. Until next time on the next episode of Yoga Revealed Podcast. Blessings.
Hey.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.